Amen. With songs like that from Glenda and the excitement of Jonathan in 24 years, I can't wait to see what 25 years can do. Take your Bible, please, and open with me to the book of songs in your Bible, the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 5. This morning, I want to talk with you about what it means to have a relationship with God in which you are growing. In fact, that's going to be our theme today and tonight and next week as well. In many ways, we're simply looking at what God wants to do on a personal level with each of us within our lives. You may have seen the story this week. It made it on national news and probably international news, where a man walked into a Metro PCS cell phone store in Pompano Beach, Florida. He came there in order to rob the store. According to his story to the clerk, he was planning to use the $300 he would get to keep himself from being evicted. While he pulled out a gun and held the lady who was by herself in the store at gunpoint and demanded the money, she opened the drawer and showed him it was empty and said, "Before you do anything else, I need to talk with you about Jesus." How many of you saw that story? Did you see it? Well, it's an awesome story. It reminded me of the kidnapped victim in Atlanta a few years ago who was reading The Purpose-Driven Life and shared that with the kidnapper. In both cases, God got a hold of the life of the person who was there to do evil, and instead they turned around and left, in essence saying they were repentant before God. What a time with God. I'm suggesting that Mrs. Gonclavius had, I'm sure I said her name wrong, before she was able to come and stay calm and say to the person, "I want to talk with you about Jesus." You know, God wants to do something in our lives, and David would say so here in Psalm 5. These are words of his. "In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." And then if you look at the end of the song, he says this, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." You know, we've adopted three words in our church: encounter, encourage, and engage, to encapsulate what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we want to encounter God, that we want to be engaged in ministry and mission, and that we want to encourage one another to discipleship. Focusing on that encounter with God is hugely important. Because whatever is happening in your life, God seeks to encounter you, and you need to be encountered by Him. Encountering Him in a daily walk with God is something that has been called a quiet time. Others may call it a devotion before God. But what I want to talk with you about is this discipline before God in which on a daily basis you seek to meet Him. God wants to meet you and empower your life and grow you in grace and make you full of His Spirit. How do you get to know someone, though, if you simply do not spend time with them? It's the question. And it is one that people who call themselves Christians need to grapple with. You know, there are many people who know a lot about God, but who do not know Him personally. And it's important. Because we talk about theology and how important theology is, and we talk about Bible study and how important Bible study is. We talk about church history and how important church history is. And there are some people, probably even this morning, you would place some of you in this category. You could take an essay test upon God and you could tell me about Him. You could give me the proper theology. You could express to me in outline form systematics from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You could talk with me about the incarnation. You could talk to me about redemption as it was found on the cross. But on a daily basis in your own life, you would say, "I don't know God. And I don't know that I hear from God. And I don't know that God speaks to me. And when I pray, I'm not sure that my prayers have any effect." There are many people who have great opinions about God, but really do not know God at all. In our day and in our age, outside the church in particular, and too often within the church, it's not theology that matters, and it's not biblical studies that matters, and it's not really being able to outline the things of theology like we talked about a few minutes ago, but it is my opinion about God. What do you think about heaven? What do you think about hell? What do you think about sin? What do you think about God? And people have elevated their own thoughts about God above the revelation of who God is, as given in His Scripture. But even they would say, though I may have great opinions about God and what God is doing, I don't really know God. I don't know who He is really, and I certainly don't know how He deals with me personally. Many people do not spend time with God for the same reason that Adam and Eve ran from Him. You remember that scene in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, and God makes man and He makes woman and He places them into a garden and He says to them, what I really want you to do is be fruitful and multiply. He gives them the opportunity, Adam indeed, to name all of the animals. He says to them in this lush paradise world, you can eat of everything here, just simply don't eat of that one tree. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In fact, it's the breaking point. It's the place where you decide whether you will walk with me and follow me or you'll rebel against me. So don't eat of that tree. There's one very similar to it right over here. You can eat of it and you can eat of the trees over there, but don't eat of that tree. And what did they do? Trying to rebel against God, certainly rebelling against God. They took of the fruit, they ate it, they shared it with one another. And it says immediately they felt dirty and despicable. They felt alienated. And though God came walking through the garden the next morning and indeed calling out for them, saying to them, let's have fellowship again. Adam, Eve, where are you? It says they hid themselves from God. They tried to hide themselves physically by putting on leaves and clothing and killing an animal and putting that on. They tried to hide themselves by getting behind bushes. But most of all, they were hiding themselves spiritually and psychologically and emotionally from God. They did that because they were afraid of Him and they were afraid of themselves. In fact, three reasons that we hide from God and therefore walk away from a quiet time and a time with God on a daily basis. One is a fear of culpability, that is judgment. We know that we don't stand righteously before a righteous and holy God. And when we consciously allow sin to come into our lives and we don't deal with that sin, we don't want to meet God because we know we're culpable before Him. And we are afraid that God will stand and condemn us, and we don't want to look God in the face, and we don't want to let Him look us in the face. There's another reason we fear responsibility. We're afraid, some of us, that God is going to ask us to do something. He's going to call us to do something. It used to be, when I was growing up, people would say, well, you're just afraid God's going to call you to China. Well, I got to tell you what, most people aren't afraid anymore God's going to call them to China. They've just taken that off of their plate, and they're just afraid God's going to ask them to work in the nursery. Amen, Ann? Send me to China, Lord, but don't make me work in the nursery. You see, God's given us all our responsibilities, called us to ministry and service before Him, and we're afraid that if we stand before God on any kind of intimate level, letting God speak to our hearts and our hearts speak to Him, He's going to ask us to do something that we don't want to do. Third reason that often we don't want to spend time with God is we're afraid that we're going to get to know ourselves. Accountability. That somehow what we know about ourselves is going to be revealed, and we know enough about ourselves that we simply don't want to look any more deeply than we do. You know, it's a shame, because even as Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves and run from God and hide from God, God was there in that garden persistently, patiently calling and searching for them. He never turned His back on them. when they were willing to confess their sin before God, God opened a way in which their sin could be covered and forgiven. It was the way of sacrifice that would follow from there until the cross of Christ, when Jesus hung on that cross and died for them. The very God whom we're scared of facing is the very God who comes with love and forgiveness and says, "Come, come unto me and let me restore you and know you deeply, and come know me deeply. Get to know me. I've got something for you. I want to help you deal with every day. I want to walk with you through your trials and through your difficulties. I want to make your good times better, and I want to make your bad times tolerable. But most of all, God is saying, I simply want to know you, and I want you to know me and know my heart." And the thing is, God who created us for himself, is the one who makes us fully who we are and who we can be. And if we don't spend time with God, we'll never be all that our heart longs to be, all that we desire to be. There are two people who really exemplify that for us. Two for one, I'm going to call it. One of them was David. Now, we've already looked at the Psalms, and the Psalms began and end pretty much with David. He didn't write them all, but they were inspired by his time with God. He's known, when you think of him as a shepherd boy, as the one who sits with his harp and sings unto the Lord. He wrote songs. He spent time with God. And you know, that's so evident. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, the Old Testament. Let me just show you this description of David. David is judging Saul. God is judging Saul. 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. Here's what it says: "But now your kingdom, Saul, will not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as a ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." That's the description of David, a man after God's own heart. This is a man who would be known for his devotion before God. He is also a man, and listen, this is so important. He is a man who will forever be known with his horrible sin, with his failure before God. It doesn't mean that we're not sinners and that we do not fail. But do you know what? Even with the background of that sin, when you read about David in the New Testament and it looks back on this great king and leader of Israel, do you know how he's described? He's described in that passage that we just read in the book of Acts. It says, "And he is a man after God's own heart." You see, that's what's going to separate the believers who grow in the Lord and the believers who excel in the Lord, not their lack of sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but rather that there is a deep desire for God to know him, to love him, and to get to know him deeply. Let me give you another one, and that would simply be Jesus. Jesus was in need of time with the Father. Now, I can't explain to you all of the theology of the Trinity, but we know that God took on human flesh and came and describes himself in the person of three: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus walked as the Son of God upon the earth, it often says things like this. Well, let me show you a couple of passages. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We'll just look at two. Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. "And after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone." You know what you find about Jesus? in the midst of the crowds, in the midst of people pulling on him, in the midst of the excitement of ministry, or in the midst of the difficulty of ministry, with all of the people around him, the scripture will say over and over again, and he took himself away to pray. It's interesting to me, when he heads to the Garden of Gethsemane, one of the statements about his moving to the garden is, it's a place where he has been many times. And that's what you see of Jesus. In his earthly walk in ministry, here is a man who withdraws himself and gets along with God and spends time with him even on a daily basis. Let me call your attention to that one other passage. It's John chapter 6 and verse 15. John 6, 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at it there. Now, this is interesting. So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him away by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, that's not a bad time. This is a time when he's fed 5,000 people. And they're excited about him. What's Jesus do? To keep it in perspective, he withdraws to the mountain. He spends time there alone with God. This is the issue and the important thing to which I want to call you to this morning. And that is to either begin or to renew with yourself and with the Lord these daily times alone with God. Now, the verse we looked at to begin with is in the Psalms, where he cries out, "In the morning, Lord, you're going to hear my voice." And I want to call you not merely to reading the Scriptures or studying the Scriptures, but to a devotional act in which you come to the Scriptures and you come to God and you spend a moment alone with him. For some of you, that's an easy thing developed out of habits of just simply quiet time within your own life. For some of us, our minds race so quickly here and about. I find sometimes I have to literally put a pencil in my hand and a piece of paper before me and begin to write to God, or write about what God is saying to me, to slow my mind down, to think to him. But whatever you have to do, however long it's been since you've done it before, since you've done it last, will you make a commitment this morning that, God, I'm going to spend some time alone with you tomorrow? I'm going to begin my day or end my day or do both, which is a double blessing, with the Word of God and with thinking about it. Now, let me tell you that as we delve into this subject, it begins, and its most essential element is the Word of God. And I put all of these on the board at one time so you can copy them down, because I want you to just take a moment, be very practical with me. And if you're going to take the Word of God and spend with it, because that's how God speaks to you, is through his Word, then I want to give you a means by which to look at his Word and let his Spirit speak to your heart in quietness. I want you to think with me for a moment about Psalm 23 and just the beginning of it. We're going to look at it with some depth in this way tonight, 6 o'clock. The Lord is my... Yeah, so you've got that one down, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And as you spend time with that passage, and this is the place where I'm not going to encourage you to try to cover a lot of ground with Scripture, not in your quiet time. Simply read a portion of Scripture. You may have a devotional book, and it may have some words that are inspiring, but let the Scripture deal with your heart. And so this morning, let's just deal with this one. The Lord is my shepherd. And when you look at that passage of Scripture, and you're in your quiet time with God, why don't you ask this question? How is this passage teaching me? What does it have to do, that is, with my life? The Lord is my shepherd. And you might contemplate on that and let the Spirit lead you in your contemplation upon that. And you might say, you know, if the Lord is my shepherd, remember what it says, I shall not want. Man, that's what God is saying to me today. He's saying to me, I don't have to worry. He's going to lead me. He's saying to me, I care for you, because in the days of the shepherds knew their sheep, even knew them by name. We've looked at that passage of Scripture in days past, and so he knows me. This is what it has to do with my life. God is teaching me that he's not somewhere way off. He's right here with me. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, oh, wait a minute. There's a word. He's my shepherd. It's not just the Lord is the shepherd, but God is saying very personally to me, I am yours. I'm interested in you personally. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We don't have a lot of time to spend here, so after you've asked the question about how is this teaching me, why don't you ask the question, is there something here for me to be thankful about? Spending time with God is all about worship, whether it's praise or songs, but you're thankful to God. And when I read that passage of Scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, what is it I should be thankful about? Well, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord is my shepherd. That he is leading me and guiding me. Some of you are walking in paths that you're not very sure about. Maybe you've just heard a bad word from the doctor's office. Or maybe something significant is happening in your life. Or maybe your job situation is up in turmoil. And here's a word from God to you. The Lord is my shepherd. You mean, God, no matter what I'm facing tomorrow, I can know that my shepherd has gone out before me. Oh, God, thank you for that. I've been worried about what tomorrow would hold, but God, you're saying to me, you're my shepherd, and you'll not lead me anywhere. In fact, as I keep reading that passage, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Lord, you're leading me to places like that. Thank you, Lord. And that might lead you to think about heaven. Lord, one day there'll be a place where it's all green pastures. Thank you for that, God. You see how the Holy Spirit begins to lead? And then how about confession? The Lord is my shepherd. In what ways am I convicted by God's truth in that? And God is all about confronting us and changing us and helping us to grow. And, you know, I have to confess today, Lord, the Spirit may lead you to say, though you have been my shepherd, I've been a pretty poor sheep. Though you have led, I have not followed. Though you have walked before me, I've generally been heading off somewhere, not behind you. And in those three ways, asking that question and letting God's Spirit speak to you through his word, God is going to speak to you in his word. And as God speaks to you in his word, particularly if you take this practice to your morning time, then you bring that back up through the day and you think about it. And as you encounter situations, you might say to yourself, okay, I made a commitment this morning to follow my shepherd. Am I following him now in my attitude as this person gets in my face? Am I following? Am I thankful that he's leading me today? Oh, Lord, as I come to the end of my day, you've been my shepherd again, and through your word, you have guided me. Thank you. And do you recognize that if you do that and you spend that time with God and meditate upon that word through the day, that you will end that day knowing, listen, I'm not talking about supposing, knowing that you've walked with God. Do you have a quiet time? I don't know if you followed up on that story this weekend. After the fellow confronted the young lady in the phone store, he walked out saying, you know, I've even attended the church where you attend. They even talked about the pastor together, and then he turned around and he said, you know, I'm so bad at this, I'm going to tell you, this is a BB gun. She assured him of God's presence in his life and God's willingness to help him, and he left. And 3 hours later, he went into a shoe store, and he pulled that same gun out, and he said to the clerk, I want the money in the cash register, and she took it out and handed it to him, and he left. He's been arrested now, and he's going to have some quiet time. See, God wants to make a difference in your life. I promise you, For the lady in the phone store, God had made a difference. For the guy in jail, not so much. Where do you want to be? Knowing God means spending time with Him. Will you make that commitment today? Let's bow together as we pray. Father, we do thank You for Your grace in our lives, for Your willingness to walk with us and to be with us, for Your desire to call us back to Yourselves no matter where we have run off to. I pray this morning, Father, that anyone in this room who's never had an experience with the Savior, who doesn't know You, doesn't know what it means to be a believer and to place their trust in You, would somehow come to that knowledge today and give themselves to You. And Lord, for the rest of us, too often stagnant in our life, too often falling away rather than following close, I pray that today would be a renewal day in which we make a new commitment to spend time with You. Father, help us. We'll need Your help as we walk with You in quiet time. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me, please, as we honor the Lord through this time.